It has been a difficult day. The torpedo guidance system failed. It was my fault.
You're excused.
Is something wrong?
It has been a difficult day. I designed that guidance system.
Worf, calm down.
Perhaps you were right.
I think you're under more stress than you'd like to admit.
If you will excuse me.
I didn't mean right now.
Looking for traffic and weather? Go somewhere else. This is the Morning Stream with Scott Johnson. Talk to Scott live. Call 801-770-4244 now. Or drop us an email. TheMorningStream@gmail.com.
Oh, look at us starting the morning with a little classical, the classical smoothing sounds of, I don't even know who the hell does that. Concerto number one and something, something, whatever. Hey, everybody, I'm Scott Johnson. This is The Morning Stream, episode four, and it is the fourth and final day of this week. And we're bringing you a morning stream. It is Thursday, January 27th, 2011. Good morning. Brian Ibbett in the booth.
Good morning. Yes, this makes us sound so highfalutin, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. You sound a little like Stewie from Family
Guy. Yes, Brian. Well. Where's my money, Brian? Where's my money?
That's really good. You're freaking me out. You may as well be Seth MacFarlane, dude.
I'll take over from sure. Yeah.
Well, I've long desired to have him on a show, so here you are, finally. That's really
weird. It breaks down after I get out of the, where's my money, Brian?
After that, you're it's no good.
After that, I'm done. Yeah.
Welcome back. And Brian's, of course, in the booth over there holding down the fort, and we're here for another show. And for some reason, you're all crunchy. I don't know why. I don't know what that was. That's weird. Oh, and we lost him. That must be a sign that we need to call him back. No problem. Anyway, welcome back, everybody. We got all kinds of great stuff to talk about today, including a whole bunch of news and funny celebrity stuff and more. But also, don't forget, today is going to be Therapy Thursday with Wendy Dunford. She'll be here at the 9 o'clock hour Mountain. That's 8 a.m. Pacific. I want to say that's, 9 our time, 10 Central, 11 Eastern. Do I have that right?
Yes, and you did it without a calculator, so,
I need to just write these down. You know what I used to have? I used to have, my wife bought me all these clocks, mm-hmm. and seriously, they were regular clocks. We got them at IKEA, so they're like $1.50 or something.
Oh, yeah, right.
And we put them all across the top of the wall in front of me in my old office, and they had, and I made little printed out signs underneath, so Tokyo and London.
Right.
And,
oh, those are awesome.
It was pretty rad, but the problem is, they ticked so loud and they were off sync. So it was like, and by the time I had that thing going after about a week and a half, I was seriously going out of my mind.
Oh, yeah. No,
you could hear it on shows and stuff. Oh, the worst.
So, you started hearing it in your sleep.
Yeah. So I want to kind of have that situation, mm-hmm. but either under glass or something or digital, like some kind of digital array. I think that'd be really cool.
I love a good digital clock under glass. Delicious.
There's nothing quite like it.
Yes, that and pheasant under glass.
Mm, don't ask me why, but Olive Garden just came to mind. I don't know why. There's nothing to do with that at Olive Garden, but
they
for whatever
serve breadsticks
reason.
Under glass.
Right, they do. I don't think they serve much under glass.
No.
Anyway, welcome back to the show, everybody. We are thrilled to be here, and we may as well just get started. Again, thanks to GnomeWise for the stream. Those of you on Shoutcast and on your phones and stuff, you owe him a huge debt of gratitude because you're listening via his graciousness. And for all others who aren't sure how the hell they got to where they're going or want to know more about what to do with the show, frogpants.com/TMS is where you want to go. That's frogpants.com/TMS. To watch live on the internet, go to frogpants.com and click on the live stream link right up top. First thing you see. And of course, what else am I missing? I think that's it. Is that it? That's it.
That's it.
I had stroganoff last night, and so I'm a little grumbly. I'm going to do this entire show a little bit unsure as to whether or not a musical break today will necessitate a break for me.
You know, do we need to play Freebird?
Maybe.
That's what they play on in radio whenever the DJ needs to go to the bathroom.
Really? I had no idea. Do you suppose that those guys wrote the song as a reason to do that?
That's right, yeah. If I leave and go to the bathroom.
And they have the opposite problem when they're performing it live.
Well, see, that's the thing is, you know, they think that people are requesting the song. No, no. As a member of the audience, you're saying, no, I need to go to the bathroom. Could you play something long so that I go to the bathroom? And that's how they came up with Freebird.
That's awesome. I love that. I love your music stories.
Yes, it's fascinating and so accurate.
Now I can only hear Stewie.
I know. I almost broke into it, too.
All right. It's time for the news. Oh, it's time for... Hey, wait a minute. That is not fair. That was too quiet. We're going to do that one more time. It's time for the news. Ah, that's better.
Nice.
Anyway.
That's a very odd mod. Oh, sorry. Wrong
you
show.
Sense a common origin. Yes. I don't blame you. Speaking of that, this news bucket today is brought to you by The Final Score. Go to finalscoreshow.com or check it out live every Friday. That's Nicole, Brian Dunaway, and myself doing the video game podcast for the rest of us. That's finalscoreshow.com or search for it on iTunes. Mark Zuckerberg got hacked.
The guy?
Yeah.
He actually got hacked.
The dude, Mark Zuckerberg.
By an axe or like a hatchet?
Well, close. His Facebook page got hacked.
Oh, okay.
Now, we all know, I mean, you know, Zuckerberg, of course, is the founder of Facebook and the subject of all sorts of nerdity in the Social Network film. I don't know how accurate that portrayal, by the way, of Eisenberg is, but I really liked it. Mm-hmm. I hope it's just like him. I hope he's sort of a Asperger-y, kind of pissed off, angsty, programmer-y, stick-it-to-the-man kind of guy that he was sort of portrayed as. Mm-hmm. And that girls hate him. I hope that that's all true. I don't know why I have that mean-spirited angst toward Mark Zuckerberg.
because he's
worth $25 billion.
Exactly, yeah.
Maybe it's because he's like 30 years old and has more money than anyone will ever have. Anyway, apparently it is possible to share too much on Facebook, even if your name is Mark Zuckerberg, because it seems somebody inadvertently shared the details of how to gain administrative access to his Facebook fan page. Otherwise, how does one explain the following status updates which appeared on Facebook.com/Mark Zuckerberg yesterday? Cringely asked, do you know who's tracking you on the web? For a humorous take on the tech industry shenanigans, subscribe to Robert X. Cringely's notes from the Underground newsletter. Let the hacking begin.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. That's a pretty mellow thing to put on your page. You get access to Mark Zuckerberg's Facebook page. And if you just throw up a little advertisement for your blog, well, that's pretty
tame,
mild.
Pretty tame.
Yeah, compared to what you could do.
What would you have done if you were a mean-spirited hacker, or even not a hacker, but just somehow got his credentials and could get in there and admin this fan page? What would you have said?
I would have said it would have been a status update that said, I just pooped a big red candle.
All right. That one works. I just pooped a big red candle. Love Mark Zuckerberg.
Exactly.
Mark Z. Maybe that's what I would do. I'm leaving Facebook to start my rap career. I will be now known as Mark Z.
Right.
Call me that, sucker MCs.
M Zuck.
Yeah. What's the word? I can't speak rap. I'm not even going to try. Anyway, that is what's going down in the world of Mark Zuckerberg and on Facebook. And if you were a fan of this page, you probably saw this pop up and thought, oh, that's a little strange. I don't know how much Mark probably spends updating his own status or any of his fan page stuff. Mm-hmm. It seems like if you're Steve Jobs is not pinging music, right? Steve Ballmer is not. Actually, what does Microsoft do?
It's Microsoft Live, I think.
Oh, yeah. Okay. He's not constantly binging his own name, right?
No, but you know, they're more than, you know, the examples of Steve Jobs and Ping is such an insignificant little blip on Apple's radar.
Yeah.
This is all Mark Zuckerberg
has. Well, not has, but I mean, you know, he doesn't have scads of other software programs and other things like that. He has Facebook. So it seems like if anyone should be using his own technology, it would be Zuckerberg.
You would think. And by the way, I would say yet. I think Facebook's going to go crazy. I think they're going to all these phone rumors, they're going to come out with a phone. It's going to be a Facebook-based freaking phone. Mm-hmm. And you're going to use this thing to not only do all your Facebookery, but you're going to use it for like, I don't know. Well, you'd make calls on it, but
hopefully.
Yeah. But I'm guessing it'll be all this cloud-based kind of stuff. I mean, they got a lot of freaking money. Yeah. The funny thing is you could argue that they don't really have any money. Like this is all that money is like investment.
Right.
None of it is like huge amounts of advertising money, although that is picking up. But, you know, most of it is just throwing money at Zuckerberg and saying, make things with this money, please. No. I'm doing that lady again.
More lemon pledge.
I'm a little giddy this morning. I have to apologize. This may be the worst 2 hours of the day for everyone listening. I'm a little jacked up. I don't know what's going on with me. Anyway, so there you go. Well, I will not have a link to the show notes because we're not doing show notes for this show. And by the way, I got a lot of support for that. So yesterday I had mentioned that I wasn't going to do show notes, and I got like 3 or 4 emails saying, don't worry about show notes. That's too much extra work for you. There's no point in having them. Durka.
Well, and what I've been trying to do is put links in the chat room to everything we talk about so that people can jump on there and see.
We encourage live participation in this show.
That's right. You will be rewarded.
Yes. You'll be rewarded. What's that from? Return of the Jedi.
I was going to say, it sounds like Colonel Plink again.
He was getting Jedi mind tricked. Bib Fortuna.
Uh-huh.
Guy with the wraparound head?
Yeah. Yes.
I was like that guy.
Bib Fortuna.
Anyway, what a stupid name.
Yeah, exactly.
Name generator George Lucas used to make stupid names. They got worse, though, in the prequels. They were way better.
I see a bib over there, and I'm eating a tuna sandwich.
I think we ought to do Bib Fortuna. What do you guys think? Yeah, anything you want, Mr. Lucas. Anything you want. Don't fire us.
Writing it down right now. Absolutely. All right. On my way.
All right. And by way of follow-up news, we've been talking about this MTV quote-unquote drama called Skins, the remake of the British one. Mm-hmm. MTV is standing by its racy teen drama. According to this news article found on Reuters.com, Viacom's MTV said on Wednesday it was standing by its controversial teen series Skins despite an exit of advertisers, a 50% slump in audience, and its calls for the government pornography probe. That's a terrible way to say that. The government pornography probe.
Can you imagine the poor guy who has that on his business card? Yes, I'm a government pornography prober.
Available at all adult stores now.
Larry Jenkins, government pornography prober.
That's terrible. Anyway, Skins, an edgy new drama based on the British TV show by the same name, features a group of teens who dabble in drink, drugs, and underage sex. Mm. Some of the largely unknown actors are as young as 15. The show is not... what does it matter if they're unknown or not? What does that matter?
Yeah.
I mean, so what if it was like freaking...
Dakota Fanning?
Dakota Fanning, right. Ugh. I don't want to think about that.
Right.
She was great in... you ever see Man Falling Down? Or Falling Down? Or what was it? Man?
I saw Falling Down, but...
What's the one with Denzel Washington?
Man on Fire?
Man on Fire. Man Falling Down. I'm sorry. That was a commercial for some orthopedic waist guard thing. Sorry. Got that backwards. No, it was Faulkner. Man on Fire. She is really great in that. She was still pretty young, but
she's very talented, very, very good actress.
Man Falling Down. The hell is wrong with
that? And that was good too.
Sounds like a great movie.
Yes.
Where are we here? The show is not canceled. The next episode is going ahead on Monday. An MTV spokesperson told Reuters, according to the media report, the show was about to be axed. Taco Bell, with their 25 ingredients in their meat. Subway, General Motors, Wrigley, Schick. H&R Block.
Foot Locker. H&R Block said, oh, hey, let's advertise on this MTV show about teenagers. That's what? Great. There's nudity?
Well, even nude teenagers need to know where they can do their taxes.
That's right.
Oh, wait, their parents do it. And chances are their 15-year-old actors will never do their own taxes.
Right.
Hello. Anyway, H&R Block, you should, big deal, you pulled out. Just letting everybody know, we have taken a stand. We have pulled out of Skins. We're not doing it, so I think that makes us awesome.
But no, we're still going strong in 90210. Woo!
Yay, tax day's right around the corner. Don't forget. Anyway, Foot Locker, L'Oreal, they've all pulled commercials from Skins, or I basically just kind of put the show on this do not buy list. What's ironic or funny to me, not so much ironic, none of these people have a problem advertising on Jersey Shore.
Okay.
And here's my issue with that. If you're going to, if Wrigley's going to advertise on Jersey Shore, but not on Skins, why are they really doing it? What is their motivation? Is it purely pressure from public organizations and these people that are probing you?
Yeah,
is that the problem? It'd have to be, because what you're saying to me is you're okay advertising a show where real life debauchery is being supported. They may not be 15, but actual acts of like disgusting douchebaggery people, you're paying for that to happen.
Reality skank versus fiction skank.
Versus complete fiction skank. That doesn't jive with my head. I still haven't seen that Skins thing. I have it queued up.
Is it on Hulu or is it just
MTV?
Just MTV.
Terrestrial television. Well, you know, cable.
Well.
I don't know if it's I haven't seen it, so I can't really judge the show. I don't know if it's any good, but this feels like me too. I'll pull out.
Right.
Wait, you want me to pull out of the freaking show where Snooki gets drunk and humps a police car or something? Oh no, don't do that.
No, don't be crazy.
come on. This is real life here. I'm a little behugged by that. We had a call coming in. Let's see if they have anything to say. Welcome to the morning stream. Who is this?
This is George from Wyoming.
George from Wyoming, you're just above me. You are almost my hat, although basically Idaho is kind of my hat.
I'm more on your left sleeve.
Yeah, that's right. True.
He's my hat.
Yeah, he's Brian's hat. What can we do for you, sir?
Well, I don't have any stream capabilities because I live in Wyoming, so I'm just wondering what you guys are talking about, and I was going to comment, regardless of what it was.
Okay, well, we're talking about that MTV show Skins that all the advertisers are pulling out of. So, what's your take?
It's teen reality TV kind of stuff, and I don't watch that crap.
Oh, this one's a drama, a drama.
It's a drama that's right, Melrose Place.
Yeah, kind of like
that. I don't watch that crap either.
Oh, well then, see, it's the great, you could not have offered a greater opinion on this than that you just gave. All right, well, tell Wyoming, give it our best. Tell Calista Flockhart and Harrison Ford to stay on the ranch. And also, Dick Cheney's ranch is a dump, I hear, as well. All right, he's gone. Our long national nightmare is over.
Right.
So I guess enough about that, but I just thought it was... It's weirdly hypocritical.
Yeah.
It's okay. But you know what? If you just stand up, Wrigley's or General Motors, if you guys just stand up and say, you know what? The reason we pulled out of Skins, that doesn't sound right either. we pulled out because it's pressure from our customer base. Okay. Mm-hmm. I can totally accept that. It's business. Yep. It's business. You do what you got to do. But if you're doing it on some moral ground, F you and the monkey you rode in on. That's all I'm saying.
That's right. Or as somebody in the chat room said, well, we're pulling out because it's really a bad show. It really sucks.
Now that would be all right. We have another call coming in from James. James, welcome to the show.
Hiya.
James, you called yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm in the UK. I'm actually a really big fan of Skins, like the UK version. I haven't seen the American one yet. And I just wanted to say that, well, from what I've heard from you guys, that... it's a lot more toned down than the UK one.
Yeah, much more toned down. But that's what we're hearing too. I mean, neither of us have seen it, but it's supposedly a lot more tame than the British
one. I mean, like the firms like L'Oreal and that seem to be fine with backing the UK one, and there's no problem there. So it's really strange to me that they're just like saying, "Well, you can't watch this, you can't watch this."
Yeah, that's the whole thing. They are. They
seem to be backing the UK one.
Yeah, they're freaking hypocrites is what it comes down to. They are loser hypocrites. Thank you for the call. Got another one coming in from the 409 area code. Who's this?
Well, it's Firefox again. How's it going, Scott?
Good, man. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
I actually ran across that skin show Saturday night at 11 o'clock, okay?
Yeah.
I watched a couple minutes of it because I didn't know what it was. All it was basically was a guy screaming at his son. I mean...
I get that. I get that in real life.
Were they naked? What was that?
No, they were clothed.
Oh, okay.
So there's a guy yelling at his son, but naked.
To get out of the bathroom.
Smoking a joint, telling him to get out of the bathroom. Brilliant. Awesome. Well, that review sounds really good, Firefox. Thanks for calling us again. Let's move on to some more news. Kucinich, remember this guy?
Yeah, I do. Dennis Kucinich.
Yeah,
right?
Ran for president.
Mm-hmm.
Is my understanding. Sues for oral injuries from errant olive pit in a sandwich.
errant, do you say?
This guy almost was president. I just want to let people know. He was running on the Democratic ticket. Here's the article. I'll let it speak for itself. It's the pits to break a tooth while eating. Just ask Representative Dennis Kucinich. The Ohio Democratic representative is suing House Cafeteria Services, like people that provide stuff to the House of Representatives.
Oh, wow.
For $150,000 for allegedly selling him a sandwich wrapped with a stray olive pit in it. Kucinich, who ran for president in 2008, said on January 3rd in the lawsuit filed in Superior Court for the District of Columbia that the pit caused, quote, serious and permanent, unquote, damage to his mouth and well-being.
And well-being.
Oh, my gosh. Come on.
Well.
I have... All right. I can understand the idea if he was like just going, oh, give me that sandwich. Give me that sandwich. Job, 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 job. And then hit the thing real hard because he was going too fast.
Mm-hmm.
But when I eat food where there's something in there accidentally, which has happened many a time, mm-hmm. there was a dirt clod in a Carl's Jr. salad once for me.
Oh, no, really?
Oh, that was the worst. Because the problem with the dirt clod was it wasn't like a thing you could remove. It was like, you know, remember magic sand? When we were kids,
yes,
you would dump that sand in water and it would kind of, you could dump all the water out and it would stay dry.
Right, 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 right. Yes.
But on the outside, it was kind of coated. But then as soon as you broke it, it would be like, bah, it'd be all sand again. It was like that kind of dirt clod. So I went to get it and it went bah, inside of the salad. Big old freaking dirt blanket. I was so pissed, like beyond mad. Took it back and you know, they were like, wow, you can have a free salad for life. I'm like, no, but I didn't sue. So that's what I'm saying. If Kucinich can sue for his stray olive pit, I could have sued for that. Right. I'd have had grounds for that.
Sure. You may not have broken a tooth, but your well being, man,
my well being. I know. Oh my gosh.
How long was it before you could eat a salad again?
What a wiener. Actually, that's kind of funny. Cause it was quite a while.
Like, was it really?
Yeah, probably a couple of years because I would never get another salad again and not look at it funny like, oh, is there a freaking dirt clod in there somewhere? And then the time I got a Wendy's single, I'm telling you, dude, after Dave Thomas died, Wendy's went to crap. It is garbage now.
We did a good one. The one here locally is pretty good.
Is it? Because we have terrible.
Keeping things out of the food.
They're really good about making sure that toenail didn't make it to your table in your burger. I'm just saying he died and everything just kind of went to garbage. I know people can agree with me on this because Wendy's just is not what it used to be. It's a shell of its former self.
Yeah.
But I went to Wendy's once and the burger I had, if you took out the patty, it had like a sole print in it.
No.
Yeah, like a shoe print.
No.
Just in like the bottom half of it or something. And I remember just going, it's the apocalypse.
Oh, dude, you please tell me you took it back.
Oh, yeah, I took it right back. I said, I think there's something wrong with my sandwich. What's the problem? Someone stepped on it with their freaking boot and not even on the bun where I can remove it. On the beef. Someone stepped on my beef. I have a beef with you. Anyway.
Wow.
Isn't that terrible?
That is horrible.
So we stand in consolidation. We stand in solidarity Dennis Kucinich and his desire to not have errant olive pits. I think suing for $150,000 is a bit much, buddy.
Yeah. So is that $100 for the tooth, $149,900 for the well-being?
For the well-being, right.
How does it rate? What's the ratio here?
He was almost president. Well, not really. He never did very well, but still.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that guy in the White House.
No.
He's going to sue the White House staff. One of my blankets smelled funny. My well-being was harmed. I'm suing. Anyway. Moving on. The good thing you and I don't live in Riverside, California. Mm-hmm. A huge lizard is roaming the Riverside neighborhoods. A monitor lizard. Monitor.
Ooh.
Hall monitor. That's from SpongeBob SquarePants.
Ah, okay.
A monitor lizard found wandering the streets of Riverside is heading home Wednesday. Elmer, the lizard, that was the name of the lizard. The lizard startled as residents in the condo complex near, oh, it's Massachusetts Avenue. Where is this? This is not California.
Yeah.
Oh.
They could have a Massachusetts Avenue in California.
They also have every other, like when I was in Mississippi, every other street was called Martin Luther King Jr. Street. So you turn left on Martin Luther King, and then you turn right on Martin Luther King, and occasionally there'd be like a JFK Boulevard. I hated that. They have the worst roads ever in Mississippi. Mm. Take that, Mississippi.
Do we have anybody from Mississippi in the chat room?
I don't know.
Or probably. Calling in?
Not yet. They may want to call and defend their honor. It was just kind of roaming around the neighborhood. So here's a quote. I was just walking along, said John Welsh of Riverside County Animal Services. People were stunned by the size of the thing. It looks like the size of a small alligator.
Wow.
What a stupid piece it is.
Looking at the picture of it.
It's a big lizard.
Mm-hmm.
Enough to make some national news. It was actually on CNN where I found it originally.
Wow.
CNN's got nothing to do.
There's a lizard running around California.
It's like, we got Piers Morgan now. I think James Earl Jones did our intro. I think we're good.
We could pretty much just phone it in today.
Where's that white-haired guy? Anderson Cooper? Yeah, him. Where's he? What's he doing? See those pictures of Anderson Cooper in the 90s at that rave?
Yes.
Oh, weird. Weird.
My image of him is totally blown.
So weird. Another short news. I just wanted to mention this. Face exercise. Fakes. That's kind of ironic because, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, there's this thing called Cheeks of Steel, a face exercise scam or a fountain of youth. You be the judge. Apparently, this thing, you make faces and it's supposed to help make you look younger and eliminate wrinkles and take ages, you know, years off your life.
Well, see, stuff like this has been around forever. It's like, facial Kegel exercises, basically, where you stretch your mouth and rah, 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 and, you know, you just do that. Oh, my God, that's a really disturbing.
Yeah, that video is. Eek.
Well, the drawing below, it's even worse.
You know, the drawing below looks like it was taken out of a horror movie and used here, repurposed.
Totally.
It says, first, she instructs to make an O shape with your mouth. So if you're listening at home, you can try this. Then drop it down so you're stretching the top half of your face. Next, stick out your tongue with your O mouth down and your tongue extended. Look up to the sky and hold your breath. Childers, the lady on this thing, it exhales and inhales as if she's sucking in the last bit of oxygen.
Wow. Is this, and this is like a current video, man. She looks like she's straight out of the 70s or 80s with totally. That hair.
She's 60-ish in age. So I guess she looks all right for
yeah, she does.
Being that old. I watched that Joan Rivers documentary. Yeah, except for that part where she makes that O face the whole time. Yes. The Joan Rivers documentary was cool and everything. Actually, she found it pretty entertaining, and she's very interesting. But, dude, she is a walking android. She's got so much work done, and she's proud of it. It's great. She loves it. Whatever.
Yeah.
Happy for her. But she looks like a freaking robot. It's really weird. Got a caller here. You're on the morning stream. Who's this?
This is Andreas.
Well, hello, Andreas. From Sweden?
No, I have to turn off that sound. How are you, Scott?
If you turn down
your radio down.
If you could turn your radio down, that'd be great. Are you calling us from Sweden?
No, I'm calling from a very snowy New York.
Oh, New York. Is there a Sweden town in New York? You sounded Swedish when I picked up.
Well, I am from Sweden, but I live in New York. I work here.
Wow, so. Look at that. Look what I did. Awesome.
I have one of Andreas's prints hanging on my wall.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
Wait, Andreas, I thought you were in Sweden this whole time. I didn't know you were in New York.
I'm sitting in New York. Actually, in Jersey City, but live in New York, working here. And yeah, I'm very happy the print got to Scott, to Brian.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very cool. So what's on your mind today?
Not just, I got late to work because of all the snow. Nothing works in New York today. And I just want to call in and say hi.
Oh, well, good. Well, hello right back to you. I hope the snow lets up and that you can get back and, you know, get back home in one piece. Sounds like quite the busy place there, too, by the way. Oh, we lost him.
I guess so. Wow.
It sounded like maybe the snow caused it.
Yeah, they're just getting pummeled again out there.
What's going on, man? Maybe, according to some friends of mine, maybe they ain't been righteous enough.
Oh, this is punishment.
Maybe they're bringing down the wrath of God, Brian.
My goodness, with snow.
It's snow, people. It's weather.
Snow, giant lizards roaming the streets of California.
Pianos out on the peninsula.
That's right. It's all signs of the apocalypse, yep. The coming apocalypse.
No doubt about it. All right, let's take a look at our next little article here. Oh, dang it. Lost Brian again. You can always tell when he's going away because he gets real crunchy. You guys notice that? I'm sure you do. I blame Skype. That was weird. You get a little crunchy and then you go away.
Oh, really? Okay, so it's...
I don't know what that is.
That is weird.
Yeah. You're torrenting some pornography.
Let's see. What else have I got running?
The next big storm's coming over there, Brian.
It is, yes.
I'm doing this voice because I'm leading up to an article I can't wait to talk about that is totally Colorado related.
Oh.
Ted Haggard.
Yes.
There's your little tease. All right, moving on. Oh, we already did the face thing. Blackbeard's sword has been found. This is a minor note, but I wanted to mention it. According to Gizmodo.com, I bet they would like Gizmo.com.
I bet they would.
I think Gizmodo was like, okay, we'll take that.
Yeah.
They found what they believe to be possibly Blackbeard's sword. It's kind of this photo we're looking at is kind of a mess, and there's a lot of sort of buildup and barnacle-iness on it.
Looks like Blackbeard's toe.
Yes, indeed. But they found a shipwreck of Queen Anne's Revenge, the actual ship that would have been Blackbeard's ship.
Oh, wow.
And they believe that the sword they found is his sword. The shipwreck was originally discovered a few years ago, but archaeologists are still sorting through it and discovered artifacts such as the sword guard. Now, if only they could find a few intact treasure maps, life would be dandy.
Mm-hmm.
You forget Blackbeard even existed. Isn't Ian McShane's playing him in the new...
The new Pirates movie?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I love Ian McShane.
Yeah, no kidding.
Maybe people can go swedging when they're around him. Maybe. Do you ever see that show?
No, I don't know what that reference was.
It was from, it would make me giggle too, because it sounds so stupid unless you've seen it. It's from, I almost said Tombstone, Deadwood.
Oh, okay.
That HBO show. He is he is amazing in that show.
I've got the box set sitting upstairs, borrowed from my stepdad that I'm getting ready to watch as soon as possible.
Brian, you good have stuff, to watch. Huh? It's so good. It'll make you long for more regular Western television.
Really?
It's the sweariest thing you'll ever watch, ever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've never heard, Quentin Tarantino blushes. For real. It's the sweariest thing ever made, but it is brilliant. They say it's super like modern day sweary. And the producers were like, well, we tried to do like time-specific sweary, mm-hmm. and it sounded like...
sounded hilarious.
Yeehaw! Sure. You know, it just didn't sound right.
Right.
So
right.
They changed that to be a little bit more, and it kind of, it weirdly works. It's really weird. Huh. I think you'll freaking love it. We had, cool. My wife and I adored it. What now?
Can we talk about Ted Haggard?
Oh, boy, Ted Haggard. Kevin, looking forward to this for a little while. So Ted Haggard, the big quote of the big headline is, I'm probably what the kids call bisexual. So this guy was like a huge mega church dude in Colorado. What part of Colorado was it?
Colorado Springs, okay. Just about an hour south of us.
These kind of people are my favorites because the hypocrisy just hurts. It's painful. Says, about former meth dealer and escort Mike Jones, Haggard says this. Because that was the whole deal. He got caught with a male prostitute who was also a meth dealer. He was buying meth from. All the while doing this televangelist thing with his megachurch going, homosexuality is a sin against God. Right?
And only in Colorado Springs do you have a meth dealer and male escort named Mike Jones. Oh, what's your meth dealer's name? Mike Jones.
I love it. His advertising. Mike Jones, meth dealer and escort.
It's not, Teabag.
Right. Teabag Johnson or something.
Dime Johnny or something like that. It's Mike Jones.
That's pretty awesome. Anyway, Haggard says this. We never had... I'm going to do the voice, okay? I'm going to assume it's all Southern drawlish and stuff, even though it isn't.
Yeah.
We never had sex. I bought drugs and a massage from him, and he masturbated me at the end. That's it. That's just
that's all.
Really an uncomfortable thing to hear. He then says he admitted to buying drugs 5 or 6 times from Jones, but adds this. Sometimes I throw it away. Why? You can buy drugs and throw it away.
Yeah, sure.
Liar. Sometimes I throw it away. Other times I'd go someplace and masturbate and use it. But it was for masturbation. And that's one of the reasons why I've been I haven't been real clear. I don't want to simply stand up publicly and say, hey, I'm a masturbation guy.
That last line is the best.
Yeah, that's pretty good. You know, you know that really the core issue here, he says. I bought the drugs to enhance masturbation because the crystal meth does. Mac taught me this. Crystal meth makes it so you don't ejaculate too soon. Dude, this guy's gross.
If only you had organ music to play behind this.
I know, I should be. It's so gross. That almost, you know what that almost qualifies for?
What's that?
That almost qualifies for that. Anyway, Ted Haggard, get on you, buddy. Way to do whatever you do. All right, it's time for a break. We're breaking a little early today because we're making time for Wendy Dunford coming here for Therapy Thursdays at the top of the hour, 9 o'clock Mountain Time. In the meantime, we are going to play a song, and this is a mashup. You guys asked for more mashups. Warning, this has a little bit of swear in it because it's Biggie Smalls doing his thing. You've been warned. It's nothing terrible, but it's, you know, you may not want the kiddies listening. I don't know. But here it is. It is the Notorious B.I.G. versus Miley Cyrus in Party and Bull Boop. Right here on the Morning Stream.
I was a terror since the public school era. Bathroom passes, cutting classes, squeezing asses. Smoking blunts was a daily routine since 13. A chubby nigga on the scene. I used to have the Trey Deuce and the Deuce Deuce in my bubble goose. Now I got the Mac in my knapsack. Lounging black, smoking sacks up an axe and sidekicks with my sidekicks. Rocking slide kicks. Honeys wanna chat, but all we wanna know is where the party at. And can I bring my jack? If not, I hope I don't get shot. Better throw my vest on my chest, cause niggas is a mess. It don't take nothing but frontin' for me to start something. Bucking and bucking at niggas like I was duck hunting. Dumbing out just me and my crew, cause all we wanna do is
Jay-Z song was on, and the Jay-Z song was on. So I put my head.
Said he had beef, asked me if I had my piece. Sure do, 222s in my shoes. Holla if you need me, love, I'm in the house. Roman Strome, see what the honeys is about. Moet poppin', ho hoppin', ain't no stopping. Big Papa, I'm a bad boy. Niggas wanna front, who got your back? Niggas wanna flex, who got the gas? It ain't hard to tell, I'm the East Coast overdoser. Nigga, you're scared, you're supposed to. Nigga, I toast you, put fear in your heart. Fuck up the party before it even starts. Pissy drunk off a Henny and Skunk or some brand Nubian shit beating down punk.
Put my hands up to play my song. The butterflies fly away.
I think I might just hit her with a little Biggie 101. How to tote a gun and have fun with Jamaican rum conversation. Blunts in rotation. My man Big Jock got the Glock in his waist and we're smoking, drinking. Got the hooker thinking. If money smell bad, then this nigga Big is stinking. Is it my charm? I got the hookers eating out my palm. She grabbed my arm and said, let's leave calm. I'm hitting skins again. Rolled up another blunt, bought a Heineken. Niggas start to look out, a kid got choked out, blows was thrown, and a fucking fight broke out. And we just all get along, so I can put pinkies on our chest like little Sean. Get a pissy drunk off a Dom Perignon, and it's on, and I'm gone, that's that.
Party and Bull. of a new force at breakfast.
We'll call them C-3POs.
New C-3PO cereal from Kellogg's. Twin rings, things together. For two crunches in every double O. A delicious part of this nutritious breakfast. Now you can experience the taste of Kellogg's C-3POs. A crunchy new force at breakfast.
May the force be with you.
We should really warn you, this show is going to get all up in your grill, pimp. This is the morning stream.
I got a whole lot of loving. I got a whole lot of something.
Welcome back. I'm a fan of that Miley Cyrus Biggie Smalls mash.
I like that version so much more than the Miley version.
Than either of the two other
than
versions.
Either, that's right. That is greater than the sum of its parts.
Yeah, I think I tend to agree. Pretty awesome stuff. We like it, that's for sure.
Yes.
All right. Well, it is time for one of my favorite parts of the show, and that is the celebrity poop. Brian, you like the celebrity poop.
I love the celebrity poop.
All right, well, let's start this off right with this.
The finest of fashions form a glamorous background for a bevy of cover girls arriving at New York's International Airport. Wearing imported clothes and carrying imported handbags, it's stylish to travel when you travel in style.
Yes, indeed it is. Therefore, we will now stylishly travel into the world of celebrity news and reviews. This edition of Celebrity Poop, once again, is brought to you by Coverville.com. Covers, 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 hosted by our very own Brian Ibbett. Check it out at Coverville.com or go to cover or find Coverville in iTunes.
There you go.
I like iTunes. Where's the diversity at the Oscars?
Where?
I'm asking you, damn it. No.
In the audience.
Yes, at least this year. So I have something to say about this, but here's the claim. After the Academy Awards ceremony in 2010, there was a great deal of hope that the glass ceiling had finally been shattered in Hollywood. The Catherine Bigelow effect was coined by some industry observers who believe that her win for The Hurt Locker, the first Oscar for a woman director, shouldn't that be female director? Anyway, woman director sounds like,
like
the word seems
women.
Wrong. Would open doors for an opportunity for females behind the camera. The riveting film Precious yielded a Best Supporting Actress for African-American performer Monique and the first ever statuette of an African-American screenwriter. In the Best Adapted Screenplay category went to Jeffrey Fletcher. But that was last year. I should do ominous music here.
That was then.
This is now. This year, there was a dedicated dearth of diversity. Oh, excuse me. A decided dearth. I don't think decided is even the right word. Anyway. Because no one decided.
Well, it's pronounced. It's a very...
It's obvious.
It's noticeable.
In the Oscar nominations, there are no women or people of color among the director nominees. And the acting nominees are all white. Javier Bardem, who is up for Best Actor in his role for Beautiful. Or B... Whatever.
It's beautiful. Sure.
It's pitiful with a B. Doesn't look right. Is a Spaniard and therefore European. Thanks, CNN.
He doesn't count.
So I had kind of a problem with this. Like, this kind of bugs me that people are throwing a rod about this. Because okay, fine. Are you saying there's discrimination? Or are you saying that there were some worthy... Okay. Are you saying there's discrimination and that therefore there are some worthy performances that we're not aware of that should have been recognized? I would be totally open to that. Were there some? Like, what jumped out at you this year... directors, let's say female directors. What movies directed by women are not getting a nod?
I can't think of any. I mean, it's based on quality. It's not based on any other criteria than just how good is the movie, how good is the directing, how good is the acting. And so,
right, because you know, if you're saying that with this case, like, oh, where's the diversity this year? Aren't you basically saying that the years where there is lots of diversity, that that's all planned, or that's
right,
all
that's
artificial?
Why they're nominated? Exactly.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Be comfortable in the fact that the best is rising to the top. So when Denzel Washington knocks it out of the park, he's going to get a Best Actor nomination and sometimes win, and happens to be black. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't get this. I don't get it. Like, if more movies are directed by women and they're really great and amazing, we'll see more nominations of women because the movies were great,
right,
not because they were women. You know what I'm saying? I'm yep. just... Know what I'm saying? I sound like Biggie Smalls now.
So, okay, so, yeah, they do mention a couple examples. So, Winter's Bone and The Kids Are Alright were both directed by women.
But no director nominations for them.
No director nominations for them.
Yeah, but I'm not boo-hooing. Well, I am a little bit, but I'm sad that
Christopher Nolan got
snubbed.
Absolutely.
And just because he's a man, nobody cares?
But he's a white guy. He's a white man.
He's a white man. He doesn't deserve to win. No. Anyway. Anyway, I just find it kind of obnoxious and stupid.
Yeah, it is. It's looking for controversy where no controversy is there.
And some people would say, yeah, but you guys are talking about it. Well, yeah, of course we're talking about it.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the diversity. I'm talking about the dumb notion.
The complaint about the lack of diversity.
Yeah, part of our problem in this country, part of the reason we can't seem to get past certain racial attitudes and certain, you know, discriminatory positions is because we keep talking about it like this, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, mm-hmm, I didn't even think about it. It's like, oh yeah, these guys were all good this year. Oh, that one guy got snubbed, that's too bad, that was really good. Oh, yeah, the Winter's Bone chick got nominated, but man, it'd be cool for director day because I hear that movie's great. Mm-hmm. But just talk about it like that,
right? Exactly. Well, she didn't get nominated because she's a woman.
This is gonna bug me.
She's a woman director.
Let's move on to something a little more exciting. Michael Fassbender to star in Prometheus. Do we know who Michael Fassbender is? I'm more interested in the fact that it's Fox's new science fiction project and less about who he is, but I'm guessing we can find out who he is pretty quick here. Anyway,
yeah.
Fassbender will star opposite Naomi Rapace in Prometheus, 20th Century Fox's new studio production of a fantasy science fiction project that was once an Alien prequel. Ridley Scott is directing the movie, which has shifted release dates from March 2012 to high-profile summer release of June 8th, 2012. If you remember,
Inglourious Basterds is how we know Michael Fassbender.
Oh, all right.
300, Centurion, Eden Lake.
Oh, I know who it is. I like him.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I like that guy. I saw Centurion. That's pretty. It's decent, actually. It's on Netflix streaming. It feels a little straight to video, but it's pretty cool.
Maybe a film sack.
Could be. I thought about that while I was watching it. It's not bad. It's brand new. I think it came out last year. Anyway, Ridley Scott announced not long ago that, nope, not going to do an Alien prequel. We're done with that business. I don't feel like I want to do that. So instead, I'm moving on. But a lot of people didn't know what he meant was, we're just going to convert this project we've already done a bunch of pre-production on to this new thing. And I'm very excited about this. A new Ridley Scott-directed science fiction film is all I need to hear. I'm very excited. Much of the storyline is shrouded in secrecy, but Scott said the movie will have an alien DNA. Fassbender is playing an android. Sweet. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, he also said in an article in Entertainment Weekly I just read that it's tangentially related to Aliens. So it's not completely disconnected from the Alien.
Oh, so it'll be in the universe, kind of like Predator kind of thing.
Yeah, I expect, you know, we might see something related to the Nostromo or maybe the planet from the first Alien, something like that, but we won't see aliens, my guess.
Maybe we'll get aliens versus predators versus Fassbender.
Promethei.
Yeah. Versus Promethei, exactly. He was offered the Prometheus role last year when it was still the Alien prequel, with talks on and off throughout the fall. His other film and credits include 300, Jonah Hex, and the indie feature Fish Tank. Didn't see Jonah Hex.
Mm-mm.
And I don't know what Fish Tank is. I hope he's a fish.
3D animated film about some fish in a tank.
So have you seen any science fiction lately that kind of caught your eye and you thought shouldn't be missed? Let's make some recommendations. And in fact, listeners, I'm happy to take a couple of calls here with some recommendations as well. Some oft overlooked or passed over science fiction titles that are recent but people may have missed. Call 801-770-4244, 801-770-4244.
You know, the only thing that really comes to mind, and this did get a lot of attention, was Moon. Moon was just fantastic.
Moon was fantastic.
Yeah.
The son of David Bowie, yeah?
That's right, directed that, right. And Sam Rockwell and Kevin Spacey.
Sort of Kevin Spacey. Robot Kevin Spacey.
That's right.
We got a call coming in from the 860 area code. You're on the morning stream. Who's this?
This is Jack from Portland.
Jack from Portland. Jack, what have you?
Well, I wanted to say, first of all, that I love all your shows on the Frog Bands Network, particularly The Instance.
Oh, good.
I'm the one who gave you guys a little Ragnaros pets.
Oh, thanks for that again, by the way. That was awesome to be able to give those away. That was very generous of you.
Anytime.
Sure.
I wanted to actually comment a couple things on yesterday's episode.
Oh, okay.
I was at work when you were streaming it.
Sure.
The first thing is the whole Star Trek gay character thing.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that as a gay guy myself, the fact that there was never one on the show never even occurred to me or bothered me. I love Star Trek as well as all sci-fi.
I kind of had that impression. It was one of my initial reactions to that, reading that, was my gay friends aren't even going to, they're going to go, what? Like,
yeah,
it's not, you never felt like gay people were being discriminated on Star Trek, right? That never came up.
It's just because, you know, it takes place in the future and we're supposed to have gotten past all that by that point. So I guess it doesn't bother them.
Ah, see, maybe the whole Star Trek mythos is we're past all this. Why are we still talking about it?
Mm-hmm.
Precisely.
Very good point. Brian, you were saying something.
I was going to say, it's just good to have your perspective on this, that it never even occurred to you is important. It's very telling.
Yes. How do you feel being the spokesman for all gay Star Trek fans?
Frightened. And I hope they never have a character like that in the future anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
I think it would ruin the show, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's a good point. You said you had another comment about the previous show?
Yes. I wanted to finalize the GIF versus GIF argument. I offer my professional opinion as a web programmer and designer. It is GIF, not GIF.
Okay.
It was GIF, starting with the J and not a G.
What's your take on when people say, you need to go to that website. Somebody got an URL we can give him? Are you a believer in the URL or do you say URL?
I have never heard someone say URL before. Because most people I talk to don't even know what URL is.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Awesome. Thank you for calling. I love that we got a little perspective from somebody.
Absolutely.
Who is in the world of gay science fiction interests. That's not the right way to put it. But we got one more call. We'll take one more, and then we got to get ready for my sister coming. Let's see. This call is from who's this? Hello.
Hey, this is Keith from here in Maine. How's it going?
I'm good, Keith. It's good to hear from you again. Do you have a science fiction film you'd recommend?
Yes, Red Werewolf Hunter, starring Felicia Day.
Oh, yeah, that is good. I forgot about that. It's a take it's a Little Red Riding Hood kind of thing, right?
Oh,
right.
Okay.
Yeah, the descendants of Red Riding Hood, the firstborn female in every generation gets the title Red. Very Buffy-like, but I liked it.
All right. Fine recommendation. Thank you very much. Let's see. We're going to do another. I think we're going to take another break, right? We do that right before this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that. I'm trying to make sure I'm timing this all right.
Yep.
Thank you for your feedback, everybody, in regards to that one guy who told us about a movie he'd recommend. We only got one of those in, but thank you for your calls. We got more coming. Be ready to call in shortly with your advice questions. I will only be taking advice questions from the therapist, Wendy Dunford, for Therapy Thursdays. No, except no substitutions. So don't call and go, yeah, I was thinking Data was pretty gay. I don't want that. But what I do want to do right now is play for you fine people a rendition of what? A rendition
Tell us
about it.
This is Sublime Santeria, and it's performed by an Australian group called Washington, which is really just fronted by the singer Megan Washington, who's also from Australia and is just a fantastic, beautiful voice on her, and a great change-up of the cover, or a great change-up of the Sublime song.
Awesome. So here it is, Santeria. Or as I said when I first saw it, Santeria.
Santeria.
Here it is. We'll be right back.
I don't practice Santeria. I ain't got no crystal ball. Well, I had $1 million, but I'd spend it all if I could find that Hannah. And that Sancho that she's found, well, I'd pop a cap in Sancho and I'd slap her down. What I really wanna know, my baby, what I really wanna say. I can't define, 'cause it's love that I need. Oh, yeah. My soul will have to wait till I get back and find a heart of my own. Daddy's gonna love one and all. And I feel the break, and I got to live it up, oh yeah. Well, I swear that I what I really want to know, my baby. What I really wanna say is I got mine, 'cause it's love. That barrel straight down Central Strong. Believe me when I say that I got something for his punk ass. What I really want to know, my baby. What I really want to say, I can't define, 'cause it's love.
Artu? Where are you? Artu? Artu? Artu! You're on fire! Artu-Ditu, you found a cigarette! Well, I don't think smoking is grown up at all. Because it's very dangerous. Smoking does dreadful things to your lungs and is very bad for your heart. I know I don't have one, but humans do, and I think we should set a good example. Well done, Artu. Oh, hello. You know smoking is bad for your health, and it isn't grown up at all. So please, don't smoke. Artu, do you really think I don't have a heart?
Should really warn you, this show is going to get all up in your grill, pimp. This is the Morning Stream. Talk to Scott live. Call 801-770-4244 now, or drop us an email, themorningstream@gmail.com.
You know, Star Wars PSA about not smoking. Pretty awesome.
Absolutely.
Don't you kind of miss those days when you'd have like mainstream films and stuff like that, like theme films that were science fiction or whatever, and they would really get into kids' lives over TV. Like that was a common thing back then.
Yeah.
Don't have that so much more.
No, we need Captain Jack Sparrow to come on and tell kids not to do meth.
This is true. All right. It is about that time, folks. We are going to have Therapy Thursdays. I need to cue this up real fast here. We're actually going to physically call her while we're talking. Call us with your problems, your questions. Feel like you're addicted. You're having trouble with your kid, your wife, problems at work. Any kind of like therapeutic advice you're in the mood for. We're here for you. We're calling her now. This is my sister, Wendy Ann. Oh.
Hello.
Wendy Dunford.
Hello.
Dr. Wendy Dunford. how's Hello. It going, Wendy?
Good. Good.
Brian, this is my sister, Wendy.
Hi, Wendy. How you doing?
I'm good. Hi, Brian.
It's good to have you. I've kind of warned the folks about who you are and what you're doing. We're going to take calls here shortly, talk about problems in people's lives. It may get, you know, maybe something as simple as, you know, I don't get along with my boss. What should I do to, I've just set fire to a government building. What should I do? And we'll do everything in between. A quick reminder to people that it's hard sometimes to do as much as you can do over the internet. So this advice, take it as, you know, for what it's worth. Wendy is a practicing therapist, works with kids and families and addiction, and is here for you today. So again, call us. That number is 801-770-4244. Call us now. Call us often. It's Therapy Thursdays. So Wendy, while we wait for our first call, I'm curious how often you run into the common problem, or at least the media would have us believe that there is a common problem with video game addiction, specifically things like MMOs, World of Warcraft. Do you really see that much of that in your stuff?
You know, I don't see it directly. It's not that if there are those who have that issue, they're not the ones seeking help. Typically their wives or girlfriends or husbands. You know, and it's, I don't want to gender specify anything, but it tends to be more men seem to have that issue in the couples that I see. But then the women conversely have sort of Facebook addictions and are on blogs all day long, kinds of things that, you know, and addiction's a strong word. You know, you'd have to really define what that is. And typically, if you're foregoing food and sleep, and if you're, you know, sort of giving everything to that thing and ruining relationships and losing your job and all of the things, that would tend to lead toward, you know, the definition of something you're addicted to. We all are pretty familiar with drugs and alcohol as addiction, so you could sort of relay that onto any kind of technology addiction. But there's people who spend too much time on technology and they're not addicted. So, you know, there's some caveats there that we could probably better define. But I would say that, you know, most of what I see, though, is, you know, the spouse coming in saying, I can't do this anymore, and that the relationship's deteriorating. So it's one of many things going wrong in the relationship. If we deal with it as the problem presents itself.
Okay, awesome. That's kind of, I think we're going to have, we may get calls about that occasionally, which is why I bring it up. We do have a call coming in from the 208 area code. Who's this?
This is Randall.
Randall. How are you today, Randall?
Yes. I've been better, but, you know, whatever.
All right. Well, do you have a question for Wendy for Therapy Thursdays?
I do. It seems like every girl that I end up dating is consistently younger than me, and none of them ever end up staying with me. They always end up leaving me, which is always kind of an odd situation. And I'm trying to figure out why that is. I don't know if it's just that they don't accept, like, the fact that I'm just a geek and, you know, enjoy playing games, or, you know, it's seemingly my personality is too young for them, although they're usually way younger than me. I don't really understand what's going on as far as I can't find the right person that actually wants to stay with me. I'm not sure what I should do to go about finding a person that actually matches my personality.
Gotcha. So what do you think, Wynn? What's a good course of action?
That's a great question, Randall. And I think you're probably not alone. You know, everyone could have been that. How do I find the right one for me? But you gave me a hint that tells me there's something specific that you could do that's applicable to everybody, but that you're running into a theme. And when anyone has a theme in their life, you know, it's kind of girl after girl leaves me, or girl after girl says the same thing, or I'm running into the same thing over and over. You know, you got to look at what common denominator is you, right? So if, you know, one person says you're a fish, I believe them. But if 10 people say you're a fish, you might want to get in some water and think about that for a minute. Because you're ultimately, they're just giving you feedback. And it's hard to not take it personally. And each new relationship is this new thing. You think this will be different, this will be great. But if you don't tackle what that common underlying problem might be, then you're going to keep running into this problem. So one thing I would suggest is to, in a world where we kind of just quickly go through our day and get the things done we need to do, I'm going to suggest finding some time where you can be introspective. Get a piece of paper or your computer, whatever you want, and write out all the things from each of these relationships, what hints you have that
where things have gone wrong, where what things you've done in the relationship that are good and bad, what you bring to the table, what maybe you don't bring to the table, and then about each of them. What's the common theme among them? Are you attracted to girls that tend to do this? That may be a piece of it. So it's really a lot more self-awareness. You know, why am I finding myself in this place? And what I found is when I help people do this, it's helpful because it's homework. You know, people like to have a follow-up with homework, but to do that and take a look at it and just open your eyes, be non-judgmental about it, just try to be as open and aware as you can. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Why are they doing what they're doing? And don't judge it. Don't be in the thick of it, but stand back and kind of observe. Put on your, you know, therapist hat and back up and just say, why is this happening? What are some of the elements? And even timeline it. I've had people draw out a timeline, literally like you do in junior high, with history. Mm-hmm. This happens then, and this happens then, and each relationship. See the themes, and then really work on you. What it is that makes you happy, that builds you, so that, you know, you're dealing with those issues, but at the same time, you're finding your own kind of peace and joy, and that's going to attract a different girl. And that's kind of a simplified version of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, what do you think? Does that sound good to you?
Yeah. Yeah, as long as it's not a situation where I have to change myself, because that's definitely not what I want to do.
Well, I guess it depends on what he finds out, right? Like when he kind of takes this introspection and looks at himself a little closer, it may show you things and you may go, "Oh, well, I should quit doing that." But overall, like if you're a happy, fun-loving guy, you don't have to become all serious. Like you want to stay the kind of core dude that you are. But maybe there's certain, I don't know, certain behaviors that you'll recognize in yourself and then decide to you know, shave those off a little bit. Anyway,
yeah, good. This is a tough thing to do, but it'd be interesting to call up some of those old girlfriends and just say, "Hey, can you be honest with me? What happened?"
Yeah.
No, I know that's,
well, all of those girls have remained friends with me, so it's not like we have a bad relationship. It's not like they don't like me. It's just they don't find me as someone they want to stay with forever.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, have they given you any clues as to why?
They usually leave me for another guy. That's usually what it ends up being.
Okay.
That's always the best. Well, good luck. Hopefully that works out for you. We got another call coming in from the 403 area code. You are on the morning stream. Who is this?
Hey, this is John from Calgary again.
Hey, Calgary. More Canada. Awesome. What do you got for us? What do you got for Wendy?
Well, I was just thinking, you were talking about addiction before, and I just wanted to say, like we don't even really know what addiction means. It's one of the most, like, sloppily defined things out there, and, like you know, like when you have, like, the government in courts sending people to 12 steps for things, which is, like, you know, a largely religious thing. It's all said, you know, if you actually read them, yeah, it's all like, you know, accepting God and stuff.
So wait, like, you're saying you got, like, the Canadian government is sending people to 12-step programs for like what kind of addictions outside of alcohol and drugs and stuff, like video game kind of stuff?
I don't know that they're doing that, but I mean, I'm thinking mostly in America. I think mostly about American politics anyways, because America's really counts to me.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they're really, as far as I know, nobody's really doing that, but it's an interesting question about the loose definition of addiction. Wendy, can you speak to this a little bit about how nobody really knows what, I mean, am I addicted to Oreos, or is Ibbot's a better example because he eats a lot of Oreos. is Brian Ibbot addicted to Oreos simply because he loves to eat them all the time and can't get enough of them? And is that a true addiction because he really likes them versus, say, you know, the black tar heroin that he's really into? What's the difference between those two things in your mind?
I think, you know, it's pretty obvious that a certain substance is going to be more addictive than another. There is such a thing as food addiction. Now, is eating Oreos because you like them an addiction? No. If eating Oreos to the, you know, exclusion of all other food groups an addiction, yeah. Probably. If it's going to kill you and others, then, you know, it's a really bad thing. Now, one way to think about it, and this is all pretty emerging science, so I can't speak to all the details of it, but with brain imaging, we have been able to see
the difference in brains between, you know, so you take twins whose brain structure is fairly similar. I mean, that's as close as we're going to get to the same person. But you look at their biology and their brain and how it functions, and you take one that's an addict and one that is not, an alcoholic, say, and their brain structures have been altered by their use of their drug of choice to some extent. And so there is some biology we can look at and say, well, there is a difference between an addicted brain and a brain, you know, how they function is just different. And so there is some evidence, if you want to call it that, that there is a difference between, hey, I really like to play games all day, and someone who can't, you know, seem to stop. So one element of this definition that's important is we all mood alter. So you come home from a hard day of work and you want to just sit in front of the TV and veg and not think about anything and be entertained, right? We all have that need. But it's when that need to change how we feel is so strong and so pervasive in our life that we seek other forms of changing what we feel. And there's gradations to that. There's a little marijuana. There's a whole lot of crack cocaine. There's, you know, to whatever it might be. People have food addictions that, you know, they eat to cover up how they feel. I think we've all had a bad day and we've eaten, you know, probably too many Oreos. So you can relate to all of these addictive elements that come with a variety of things. Not all of us have that. Not all of us have the propensity to be addicted. I've known people who have tried meth and aren't addicted, which meth is extremely addictive. So, you know, there's sort of that individual element to this, but there's also just that mood altering piece.
This sounds like, you know, okay, so a guy comes home. He's not really happy with his marriage. His kids are kind of driving him nuts. And his escape is to lock himself in a room and play Halo on his Xbox all night, because that's right. Where he has an outlet, where he doesn't have those responsibilities. He can, for a time, forget about them. And what you wouldn't necessarily call that an addiction, but he's created an escape valve that is probably harmful to his ability to deal with the things in life that he's either committed to or needs to face or whatever. And to me, they're kind of... You know, while addiction sometimes is a physical dependency and it's something you can't even control after a point and the brain chemistry does indeed change, this other one is sometimes equally oppressive and dangerous, at least to, you know, relationships, jobs, and things like that. Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely. And that difference is really important, because how you treat it is very different. So if a guy has a great life for the most part, but he is sneaking off at his lunch break to, you know, check his levels or whatever, and then he comes home and he ignores his lovely wife and his children, who he really does adore, there would be there's a problem. He's avoiding everything and losing everything in order to be on that game. The scenario you gave is a perfect example of what the majority of people struggle with, and that is, I don't know how to deal with my real life, and so I'm going to hide from it. I'm going to escape into this world where I win all the time, or I can conquer. I'm, you know, I'm a grown up. I'm big. I'm powerful. Whereas in my real life, my job sucks and my wife whines all the time and these kids are annoying. And that escapism creates further problems, obviously, in those relationships, but is not an addiction. So it's important to parse that out, I think.
Interesting. All right, cool. Ibbett, any thoughts before we close out with Therapy Thursdays today?
No, I like that. I mean, you know, being able to define escapism versus addiction, I think, is a very important point. And I think that a lot of times what people do, and neither is very good. I mean, certainly not saying, hey, much better to have escapism, but I think what a lot of people do attribute as addiction really is escapism. So it's an important distinction to make.
And we're not saying, absolutely, folks, that you know, everyone out there who comes home after a hard day and needs to just unwind with a couple of rounds of Halo Reach with their buddies is ignoring their life
either,
or is some kind,
right,
of douche. We're not saying that. We're just saying that it can become that, especially if, you know, I know people like this who use not just video games, but a lot of things. I have a friend who uses golf as the ultimate escape for everything he doesn't want to take responsibility for. If he's feeling any pressure at all, let's go do 9 holes. It's like, all right, well, that's $75 a pop. He has no money. It's an extremely expensive escape for him. And, you know, I don't see it any differently than somebody who buries himself in World of Warcraft all night to sort of escape his life. So, you know, we're not calling you all that. Mm-hmm. We're just saying,
it's important to reward yourself too. I mean, you got to have rewards in your life as well as the work and as well as the day to day stuff that has to get done. You got to treat yourself. You got to realize that these are rewards that you've earned, but you got to make sure that you do keep them in perspective with the other parts of your life.
So, Wendy, any parting wisdom from your side of the room before we let you go?
Yeah, I would add if it's a couple situation, it's a girlfriend or a wife, there's some really easy ways that are just so simple it's sad to communicate this need with your wife and find some balance. So I think the caller is absolutely right that we need to reward ourselves. We have certain things that are really fun for us and let us escape a little bit. But we all know the time suck that internet can be and games can be, that it can just go on forever. And you really think, I've only been here 10 minutes, but it's been 5 hours. Mm-hmm. And your partner is just fuming in the other room, and it starts to deteriorate your relationship. So the solution is this. It's pretty simple. It's that you communicate, about what you're doing every day. So every morning, once a week, you sit down and have a meeting and say, hey, what are we doing all week long? I really want to work on this part in World of Warcraft. I probably need this amount of time. I'd love to do that. What do you need to do this week? And she says, I would love to just have an hour by myself without the kids on Thursday. And you say, great, I will take the kids then. And it sounds so unromantic, but it erases so many problems. Plan out your week so you both know what each other's doing, because there's nothing worse than seeing someone you love on a computer and they have that glazed look on their eye and they're never coming back, because it's not, you got to designate what are we doing, and that the partner needs their own escape time, their own free time, especially if there's kids in the family, to just get a break and renew themselves. So guys, if you can just say, hey honey, what do you need today? And then you do that for her and say, hey, I just need an hour of World of Warcraft. I promise it will go a long way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. This is how it works at my house. So it's nice to be, it's nice to have that confirmed. Awesome. Again, Wendy Dunford, thank you so much for taking the time this week. We didn't scare you away, right? You'll be back next Thursday?
Yes, I will be here.
I like this idea of maybe even focusing in on a topic like we've kind of done naturally here, which is kind of what I thought would happen. We would come up with, we'd figure out what the rhythm of this would be. And I like the idea of being able to cherry pick something out. My guess is we're going to get a ton of feedback about this issue during the week, and we'll make sure to bring some of that up next week as well. But I'm really grateful you took the time to hang out with us, and I guess I'll see you Super Bowl Sunday.
That's right. Thank you.
Go Steelers.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. See you. Actually, go Packers, but I think
I'm saying go Packers. But,
are you saying go Packers? Oh, yeah. I told you, I'm kind of a fan of both teams.
Yeah,
so this is a little rough for me. Kind of hard.
They're both big American teams. You know, it's American football right here.
That's right. Welcome to the game. Welcome to the thing, the show, the whatever. That's right. All right. Well, let's close things out today with a couple of final segments. That was great, by the way.
That was really, yeah. She's fantastic.
Wendy's awesome. She's a thinker and a drinker. She's not a drinker. I made that up. It just rhymed, so it made sense to me. Okay. Oh, you know what we haven't done? Let's talk a little web weird here before I forget. That got really loud. Didn't mean it to. Here it is.
Ooh.
Okay. That was too quiet. Anyway, web weird this week. Strawberry Pop-Tart blowtorches. What the crap is Scott talking about? Well, it's as simple as this. Found this website where it was updated in August, by the way. last updated August 1994. Still on the internet. It is HTML 101 here.
That's right. Yep.
Which I don't mind. I don't mind this as much as I mind the, you know, everything centered. There's a giant repeating pattern in the background.
Pink with teddy bears.
Yeah,
and
rotating skulls.
Flashing gifts and stuff. Yes.
You can hate that.
No, this is, it's easy to read. So you know what? Good on you.
Yeah, I think it's kind of cool. Anyway, they describe basically how to create a blowtorch out of your toaster using Pop-Tarts. The materials are used are basic materials. This is all you need. The two basic materials are a SPT combustion, or to create the combustion, an inexpensive toaster, because you don't want to use a good one, they say, because you can burn it.
Yeah.
And some strawberry Pop-Tarts. The authors used Kellogg's strawberry Pop-Tarts with real Smucker's fruit. So the little ones that are like packed or stuffed or whatever.
Well, they're all stuffed.
Is there a word for that?
Like that all have the filling,
Yeah.
Yeah, also I think helps to have the ones that have the frosting too, because the additional sugar is probably helpful.
Yeah, they recommend some safety stuff, suitable location for the experiment. You don't want to be, you know, in a place where something's going to catch on fire. Have a extinguisher nearby, and then they go step by step and basically tell you how to create it. And my gosh, look at this thing.
It's crazy. It's like, the initial toasting cycle is 60 seconds, and then 40 seconds later, some smoke began pouring out of the toaster, and then flame about 18 inches above the top of the toaster.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome.
Nice.
So go to check this out at pmichaud.com. It doesn't make a word, so I won't say it.
Yeah.
/toast. So that's pmichaud.com/toast and learn more about how you can make a strawberry Pop-Tart blowtorch. That's a winner every time.
Nice.
A crowd pleaser. My kids want me to do this, by the way. I think we're going to
do it. Oh, sure.
We have an ancient toaster. We're going to totally pull that out and do it.
Ooh, videotape it.
Ooh, put it on the internet.
Yes.
Randomopedia. This fine day, sponsored by Majorspoilers.com. All the best comic news and information at majorspoilers.com. Go check them out. The word of the day is curdling. Curdling. During industrial production of elemental cheese. Elemental? I'm sorry, emental. It's not elemental. E-mental? I think it's emental.
Oh, emental, yeah.
Okay. The as yet undrained curd is broken by rotating mixers. A step required in cheese making is separating the milk into solid curds and liquid whey. Whey, wheaten. Usually this is done by acidifying the souring or basically the souring of the milk and adding rennet. I don't know what rennet is. The acidification can be accomplished directly by the addition of an acid-like vinegar in a few cases, paneer, queso fresco, etc. These are words I never use.
Mm-hmm.
Some fresh cheeses are curded only by acidity. Most cheeses also use rennet. Rennet uses this goes on and on and on. The point is, if you're making your own damn cheese, don't forget the curdling process.
That's right.
That's your randomopedia of the day. That's really effing weird. And then finally in mailbag, we got some mail sacks, bags, film sack. Mailbag today.
It all melts together, doesn't it?
Mailbag today is brought to you by Film Sack. Don't forget to check us out this Friday. Brand new episode. We're talking about Lost Boys Special Edition.
Mm-hmm.
It was, oh, I don't know what that was, but fries are done.
You said the word of the day.
I don't know what that's really weird. What is that from? Anyway, someone in the chat room asked, what is the word we hate today? It is doily. I forgot to mention early. The word of the day is doily. Stricken it from the record. Strike it from the record. Mailbag. Dave wrote in and said, MTVU, all music videos, not the typical mainstream crap on MTV hits or VH1 hits. Some obscure stuff. Crystal Castles, Two Door Cinema Club, Mumford & Sons, Bright Eyes, Imogen Heap, Florence, Plus the Machine, etc. From Dave. So he's responding to our MTV don't play no music no more.
Yeah, so MTVU. I got to see if we get that. I've got US Cable here in Colorado.
It sounds like a terrible college to go to.
Yeah,
welcome to MBTU.
That too.
Snooki 101 starts in 10 minutes. Anyway, so yeah, for those who still like music in their videos, that's apparently a thing, and you can go check it out. You can also check out our website, frogpants.com/TMS. You can email us your feedback, just like that email, to themorningstream@gmail.com. And you can also phone us, 801-770-4244. We're on Twitter at Extra Life and also Coverville for Brian over there in the booth.
Yes, sir.
I mentioned that Matt Hook continues to sponsor the show this week. This is the final day of sponsorship for this week anyway. We hope we be able to do some other cool projects with him in the future. Don't forget, do a hook on MattHook.com. Use the app for your iPhone. Create a hook. It's all very simple and explanatory what that is. They're picking winners every day. You get a free 12x18 signed print from the Frog Pants store, signed by me. That is to say the artist who created it. And it is of your choice, so you don't have to, you know, I don't have to give you the old Overstock stuff. You can get whatever you want. And at the end of the week, which is I think he's announcing it tomorrow.
Oh really?
Not sure. Cool. I'll find out for sure. Maybe we'll do it Monday on the show. I'll talk to him.
Yeah.
But they're giving $60 to one of you winners, so you can, you know, buy Little Big Planet 2, which is awesome.
That is awesome.
Great game. You played that?
I have not. No, that's probably next on my list because I don't think I've got the time to devote to DC Universe Online. I think Little Planet 2 is next.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's really, really, it's an enormous improvement. At first glance, you're like, oh, this is definitely a little big planet. Like nothing about it jumps out and goes, look at how new it all is. But when you get into it and start messing with it and then you see what the community is doing with it, mind blown.
Really?
Oh, cool. My gosh. I cannot believe it. There are dual joystick shooters like Geometry War style stuff done in this engine.
No way.
By regular people that is, it's not like a little overhead sack boy doing stuff. It's like a full on shooter with like these huge asteroids to blow up. I don't know how they're doing it.
Oh, very cool.
The game types, little kart racers and just, it's freaking crazy. There's physics engines in this thing and it's something special. So highly recommend it.
I may pick that up today.
Yeah. And then learn more about it on the final score tomorrow.
That's right. Oh, there you go.
Coming up. Look at that transition. Pretty damn good.
Nicely done.
So I want to just drop a quick thank you to everybody in the chat room. So chat room, I'm looking at you. I'm actually literally looking at you right now. Thank you for being here all week long. You are chief among the reasons why the show has been, so far, a fairly unmitigated hit for me. I'm a little surprised about the response. I've had no negative feedback. The numbers have grown every day. The downloads on the podcast are huge. The streamers are growing in terms of numbers. And I cannot say enough to you because you are the early adopters and the ones that kind of help us push this forward. And if the show becomes a success, which I really hope it will, and kind of a flagship in the network, it will be because of you that happens. So I'm incredibly grateful that you guys have decided to tune in. However you're consuming this, thank you, one and all. And then even more so, huge thanks to the guy in the booth for the first week of helping me knock it out of the park. I feel like the show hinges on our rapport, and that means a lot to me as well. So thanks so much, Ibbot.
Absolutely. Thank you. I'm looking forward to this as much as I do my own shows, and this is a highlight of my day every day. So thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you guys, everybody listening. We will see you again Monday for another episode of this here show. In the meantime, we're going to go out on a tune. Oh, and I just realized I haven't picked one yet. should we do another mashup? I like mashups.
The chat room seems to like mashups. Absolutely.
Yeah, let's do one from the 2010 Best of Booty collection. And I think this one's going to be... Oh, how about... sorry, I'm taking forever to get this. How about a little Lady Gaga versus Metallica?
Nice.
Yeah! I freaking hate her, but this makes it better. So we'll play that. We'll be back Monday with a brand new show. Everyone have a great 4-day weekend, and we'll see you then.
I'm busy. Ready, B?
Ready, B?
Let's go get 'em, go get 'em.
But when you blowing up my phone, won't make me leave no faster. Put my coat on faster. Leave my brown go faster. Should've left my phone at home, cause this is a disaster. Calling like a collector. Sorry, I cannot answer.
Program so good, it's like you're there.
Bonk.